going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back at it, Chuck Reese Show. Hanging out with you Thursday nights, 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We've been talking a lot of Falcons here in this first hour. Let's continue the conversation. Let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy, Falcons reporter Joe Patrick. Of course, you can follow Joe on his personal Twitter page, at JAPatrick200. Joe, my friend, as always, I haven't seen you in so long. Oh, yeah, no, it was just a few hours ago in the meeting. But anyway, but it's like, always.
It's my quarterly appearance showing up in this.
Yeah. Listen.
I'm always out doing stuff.
Always good to have you on the show and always good to have you in the meetings, you know, as well. You know, Joe, this is not exactly like 2014, but it's close. Because a lot of rumor, you know, if Mike Smith had won his final game against Carolina, where they got blown out in 2014, he probably would still be the head coach of this team, because that would have been for the division. Both those teams went into that game, you know, whoever was going to win was going to be 7-9 and win the division in that year. You know, a lot of people have talked about, well, Arthur Blank's already made up his mind. I don't buy that. Like, I don't, and because, again, of some of these similarities to 2014. Look, if the Falcons find their way into, no matter what you think their record is or what it should be or whatever, if they win the division and they host a home playoff game, you mean to tell me Arthur Blank's going to fire his head coach?
Well, that's right. And I think that, you know, the one thing that has basically seems to be saving Arthur Smith at this point is the fact that there is this opportunity to win or to get into the playoffs. As slim as it might feel for Falcons fans, and it surely does feel that way, it's there, you know? And right. Crazy things happen on the last week of seasons, by the way. I was actually just talking, was actually just chatting with Mike Rossi from ESPN, and we were just talking about how just last year, you know, you had the Texans go out there and win it for the Texans win. Now I'm blanking on the coach's name from Illinois. Anyway, and the Bears end up with the number one pick where that, you know, they never would have thought that would have happened. So crazy things can happen here at the end of seasons. And yeah, I mean, I think Arthur Smith's got to be thankful that they still have that opportunity because of how the division shaped out up. But gosh, I honestly, Chuck, I've flipped back and forth my mind on how this is going to go. So I got to be honest, when I was up there, I traveled to Charlotte for that game against the Panthers, and man, it felt like a funeral afterwards. Like, all the media were stationed up in the press box to go down in the one elevator they have in that stadium, and everybody had to stop while Arthur Blank's posse, and that included Terry Fontenot, made their way down the elevator, and man, they looked glum, and just the way that Arthur Smith was in that press conference and the players, it was devastating. It felt devastating at that time, and then they come back and put together one of, if not the best performance that they've had this year, and kind of showed what this offense can potentially be if you get some competent quarterback play, and they got it in that given game. And so, yeah, I do think that there may be a lifeline for Arthur Smith if they can go out there and put together a good performance and once again show that philosophically what he wants to do with this team can work if they get the right pieces. And I think that there's clearly, you know, we could go into the whole debate, but clearly the gambit that this team made on the quarterback failed. And whether you hold Arthur Smith accountable for that, ultimately, and that would cost him his job. That's the determination that the decision maker is going to have to face when they come down to this.
So I've been talking about this for the last few weeks. Let's say that nothing changes. Let's say Arthur Smith is here to coach next year. I'll argue this. I'll die on this hill. Okay, I'll argue this with anybody. That Terry Fontenot is going to have a real decision to make. Do you go the route of trying to find a plug-and-play guy immediately to be your quarterback and help you try to win games? Or do you do what I think is best for the franchise, and that's draft a quarterback in the first round, no matter where you pick? You want to pick 8th, 9th, 10th. You pick 19th if you win the division. Whatever it is. You have to find your next young quarterback in the first round. Not third-round flyers, not guys that are further down the road. I'm talking about first-round talent types of guys. And that's going to be the decision, I think, is that if Arthur Smith is back, do you just try to plug and play, you know, the Ryan Tannehills, and I'm not saying him specifically, but just try to find that veteran that doesn't screw it up, or do you do what's best for the franchise and go get your young quarterback and groom him? And look, most likely that guy won't work out because that's life in the NFL. But that's the route I think you have to go at some point, is invest that high capital into that position.
Yeah, I tend to agree. There are some teams that are making it work without having done that. Like the Rams are a great example, and Sean McVay has done a great job with Matthew Stafford, really resurrecting his career. But ultimately,
let me just stop for just 1 second, okay? And sure. But this is also the difference. They had a Super Bowl roster, like Jared Goff got them to a Super Bowl, like that. So again, mm-hmm. they had a Super Bowl ready roster that they just needed to upgrade that quarterback. But he got them to a Super Bowl, and I think people, and I'm not saying you, I'm just saying I think some people forget that all of those draft picks worked. The Goffs and the Gurleys and everything, Donald. Yeah. They got to a Super Bowl. They just needed to get over that hump from there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And look at Jared Goff. You know, he's doing really well with the Detroit Lions, and he's kind of also resurrecting his career. And it just goes to show that with the quarterbacks, you know, there's so much that goes into quarterback play outside of just a natural talent. There's a lot of kind of cohesion that has to happen with the play caller and with the offense and the players around him. And if that works, then you can see some of these kind of later career revivals. But to get back to what you were talking about, Chuck, I think that this is exactly – like these decisions go hand in hand with one another when you talk about the coach and when you talk about the quarterback and who that's going to be in the future for the Falcons. I think that it makes a lot of sense for the Falcons if you do want to like make that big move and draft a quarterback, which is going to be a lot easier to do if they end up losing this game and they're drafting in that top 10 area. Even if they want to trade up, it may not cost quite as much if they're there as opposed to, you know, if they were further down, if they do end up winning the division. But, you know, I think that if they do want to go that route and get that guy, maybe it's Michael Penix, maybe it's, you know, Drake May, whoever it is, then I think that it makes sense to actually move on from Arthur Smith, because I think that if you draft a quarterback and you keep Arthur Smith, the expectations are going to be immediately that you go to the playoffs. And I think that that doesn't really set that quarterback up for long-term success. Now, could that quarterback be the plug-and-play option that any other, you know, like a veteran might be as well? Yeah, it could be. You could get a C.J. Stroud-level talent. Even a guy like Bryce Young, I think, could have had a much more successful year this year, and people would be thinking about him a lot differently if he was in a better situation for him to succeed. But he doesn't have playmakers around him. He doesn't have a great coach. You know, so many problems there in Charlotte. But all this goes to say is that you need to kind of have these two pieces really be simpatico. And so if the Falcons are going to go that option, I think that they would go on and choose a different coach, someone that they feel like could groom that quarterback. But there, you know, that again, that is, there is going to be a price to pay for that. And, you know, maybe I think that if they did just because I'm with you. I think that they do need to, you know, make a decision at quarterback. This is it seems like a great opportunity to do it with this class and where they're going to be drafting. But, you know, if they didn't want to do that, if they did want to go and potentially sign a Kirk Cousins, a Jacoby Brissett, maybe that would be a better situation to have a veteran head coach that he could give a veteran quarterback guidance. And that would just be a better situation, I think, with the expectations that are going to be on this team next year, particularly if Arthur Smith stays. If Arthur Smith is this team's head football coach, nobody's going to be settling for anything less than the playoffs. Now, the expectations are probably going to be high regardless of who the coach is, but I think there would be at least some level of grace if you have a new head coach and potentially a rookie quarterback. That's not going to be the situation if Arthur Smith is probably going to be, if he returns, he's probably going to be the head coach that's most under fire in the NFL. And that's just not the situation you want to have if you're bringing in a rookie quarterback and you kind of want to allow that quarterback to, you know, make some mistakes and learn and progress throughout the course of the season. Because if you do lose, you know, if you lose three of your first five games or something, then the calls are going to be there. And it's just going to be not a situation that is set up for success for the team overall. So I do think that, you know, I don't know what way they're going to go, honestly, at this point. And the other thing, Chuck, and I'm with you, like, they obviously need the quarterback. That's number one. But there are a lot of holes on this roster, and they've, you know, maybe you can fill some of those holes by continuing to do what you did this most recent draft, which with guys like Clark Phillips, Zach Harris, and these third, fourth round picks that can really develop and blossom and become what you hope to be starters. But I just want to kind of put it out that there's, while the quarterback is obviously the most urgent situation for the Falcons team, there's lots of pieces that they need to build on offense and defense.
Well, and I'll say it like this too, you know, and this goes back to a discussion that was at the beginning of the year. The Falcons are still not a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl team. Like, that was the argument about the Lamar Jacksons of the world and stuff like that. Look, they're not a quarterback away. Look, you can bring in Kirk Cousins for $35 million. You can bring in Justin Field where you get 1 year for six and then you got to go $22 million. And that's, you know, only the last 2 years. You know, if he doesn't work out with his fifth-year option, then, again, what good was trading for him? But, you know, we're not – this roster isn't – $35 million quarterback roster away from competing with Philadelphia, Dallas, San Francisco, even the Rams. I mean, look at how good the Rams have been since they've gotten healthy. We're just not. I mean, again, I like our pieces, but I'm not fooled by the idea of, well, if we just had this and that. Yeah, you've also played the worst schedule in the history of the NFL. Like, again, everything has lined up. And I understand not taking advantage of it. But, again, like I've talked about this. Joe, you win the division. You find a way to win the division. Guess what? You play a first-place schedule next year.
Yeah.
You won't be playing all the slugs of the world. You'll be playing the Dallases and the Phillies. Start lining us up, this team, against those guys on a week-in, week-out basis of Miami, Buffalo, Baltimore, Cleveland. Like, start lining up against those teams every week and see how good you really are then.
Yeah, I mean, let's just go through it. Like, okay, on offense, I think you're going to be in the market for a receiver. I think that's a big need. You need some other, like, faster option that can stretch the field and be a technician on the opposite side of Drake London. Right tackle, I think, is a question mark. Caleb McGarry can be under contract. They can go into the next season with him, but I do wonder if they may try to upgrade there.
Couldn't we have drafted Penei Sewell? Wasn't Penei Sewell available? Oh, sorry. I forgot. Maybe. He's the highest graded tackle, and he's the highest graded tackle in the NFL. I'm sorry. I just have these flashbacks in Vietnam to, you know, our drafts and stuff. But anyway.
And what do you like? Is tight end a need? Like, I mean, you have Kyle Pitts, but is Kyle Pitts a tight end? I don't know. I honestly don't know, because I think that he offers you the most when he's not playing in the tight end role, when he's playing more in the slot or in a more receiver role. And you certainly don't want him blocking. So I think Jonathan Smith is a good tight end, but I'm just trying to make the point that even that Kyle Pitts and the player that he is, I don't even know if he actually is a tight end for you at this point. And you still need that receiver who can stretch the field. So that's just on offense. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, Calais Campbell has probably been maybe your best defensive lineman this year, and he's almost certainly not coming back. If he does come back to play another year in the NFL, he's almost certainly going to go to more of a contender, I would think. I would be shocked at this point if he's back with the Falcons next year. Bud Dupree, you know, a similar kind of, you know, veteran, but you can't count on him for next year necessarily. So that's two guys. You got another a corner opposite AJ Terrell you'll need. Richie Grant has kind of proven that, you know, you're going to be in the market for a strong safety. You know, there are lots of pieces that this team still needs. And so that's something that's going to be, have to be factored in by everybody when we're talking about the quarterback situation and just how much you kind of want to sacrifice. And maybe it is worth sacrificing this year and then to hopefully put, you know, build in those pieces later on behind a quarterback who gets kind of his, gets his, you know, blooding, so to speak, this in this coming year. But man, there's just the future of this Falcons team is really fascinating because it can go so many different ways, both positively and negatively.
Joe Patrick, he is our Falcons reporter for 92.9 The Game. Follow him on his personal Twitter page at jpatrick200. And he joined me here on the waitfor.com hotline. Joe, my friend, as always, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for listen, this is where I miss these conversations at night doing sports flashes and stuff like that because, again, we could get really deep into all of this. But I always do thank you for spending a few minutes with me.
I always love coming on and chopping it up with you, man. It's fun, even though it's sometimes painful. It's always entertaining and fun to do. So thanks for having me on.
Listen, I always give you the painful truth. I'm the high priest of the Church of the Painful Truth. So anyway, that's a line from somebody else. But anyway, all right, Joe. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
We get back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. One name that is being rumored already, and again, there'll be many of these that could be a replacement for Arthur Smith. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.